But I promise that I won't forget. If I do well enough, I'll find a way to get someone to take care of your arm. That's just fair. Though part of Rick bridled at the idea of accepting such pity, he didn't have many choices. He found a smile somewhere and nodded to Tom. That's kind of you. I don't know if I'll keep fighting with this injury, but maybe we can exchange information? They did so quickly, and Tom even gave him access to his Lucrim profile. But after that, the crowd was starting to pull him back, and he needed to go. Alger especially was beaming, and though he shot a smile at Rick as well, it was obvious who he was focusing on. Soon the crowd was gone, leaving him alone in the corridor. He knew it would just make him unhappier, but Rick still pulled his phone back out to check Tom's profile. He struggled a bit with the phone, surprised to find that he sometimes used his left hand as well, but eventually pulled it up. Name: Tom Jackson. Ether tier, 15th. Ether score, 273. Lucrim generation, 33,500. Current Lucrim, private data. While he had the app open, Rick considered checking himself as well, but it didn't feel worth it. There were stories of one-armed fighters who attained great fame, but they usually already had immense strength or got incredibly lucky. Enough Lucrim could make up for the loss of a limb, even without regeneration, but how would he earn that much without a functional left arm? No, his only real hope was to trust Tom's charity. He didn't like it, but it was better than nothing. Rick put his phone away, resolving to find a way to make ends meet until he could get his arm back. Heading down the corridor, he saw the Slayer walking up the stairs. The man looked to have been healed, but he was still in terrible shape. For a moment, Rick actually considered him as a fellow human being, realizing that this man had his own reasons for fighting in the underground. It looked like he'd had the money to restore his mangled hand, but not to fully heal him overall, and certainly not to restore his spent Lucrim. "Hey, sorry about the match." The Slayer gave him a smile as he spoke, closing the distance between them smoothly. Rick turned around and left. Yes, the Slayer might be just another person, but Rick knew very well what people could do to their fellow human beings. It was just an instinct, but the Slayer's smile struck him as false, and he didn't like something in his eyes. He'd barely gotten around a corner when he heard feet slamming into the floor. Rick started to run, but the very first time he looked over his shoulder, he saw that the Slayer was already coming after him, his smile morphing into something predatory. "Too smart to fall for it, huh?" The Slayer kept after him, and Rick barely stayed ahead, clutching his injured arm so it wouldn't bounce painfully. "But that's just going to make this worse for you." "You can't do this." Rick managed to get out the words between breaths, hoping that his opponent was just raging after the match. But when he caught another glimpse, he saw nothing but cold fury in the Slayer's eyes. "Oh, we're not supposed to kill anyone. I'd never break that rule. But the kid with the claw tech already died of his wounds, and you will too." Given how easily the Slayer was speaking while running, it was only a matter of time before he caught up. But as Rick turned another corner, he saw his chance. A woman in a doctor's coat was pushing a man on a gurney in front of them. Not hesitating, Rick dropped to the ground and slid underneath the gurney as the woman gave a cry of surprise. He managed to pull back to his feet after the slide and looked back, hoping that the Slayer wouldn't just attack the woman and keep coming after him. But the Slayer was gone. Rick stared for a long moment, his first thought the absurd idea that the Slayer had somehow gone invisible. But no, more likely he just couldn't afford any witnesses. That meant he was held off for now, but there was no chance that he was going to give up. The doctor was giving him a strange look, so he gave her an apologetic look. "I'm sorry, but I'm being chased. There's some..." Immediately she raised her hands.
"I don't get involved with your vendettas. This is just a job to me."
"But he's seriously going to kill me."
"I don't get involved."
Gritting his teeth, Rick accepted that and desperately considered other options. "Do you know someone who calls herself Granny Whitney? She said she would be at a balcony nearby."
"Right, Whitney."
The doctor gave him a strange look, but nodded.
"She does get involved, so I suppose it's worth trying." Her balcony is down that hall and to the right.
Thanks. Rick immediately turned away and sprinted in the direction she'd indicated. As he ran, he expected to hear footsteps pounding after him at any moment, or worse, have the Slayer emerge completely silently from one of the corridors ahead. Yet, no attack came, and he was too tired to sprint forever. He slowed down to a jog as he spotted a sliding door that led to the outside. It was less a balcony than a small area of the roof with a guardrail, but he knew it was the right place. Granny Whitney sat at a small metal table, a blue china tea set beside her. The delicate china looked absurdly out of place on the grimy roof. The old woman turned to smile at him.
My, you're in a hurry. Come and sit down, dearie.
Someone... Rick looked backward nervously, but saw no one. The Slayer is coming after me. He threatened to kill me. Can you help?
Yes. The poor lad was expecting a night of beating up people weaker than him, but he ended up humiliated in front of such a crowd. No wonder he's furious.
Granny Whitney stared at Rick thoughtfully.
A nice boy like you shouldn't be killed here. Of course I'll help you, but I wonder if you might not give a thought to my offer.
What do you mean?
I think you're a nice young lad, so I'll be generous. I'll have your arm healed for free, give you some nice medicine to help along your development, and invest 50,000 lucrim in your success. Up front, without any immediate compensation.
Rick stared at her, hoping that this couldn't possibly be what it looked like. Are you saying that you'll let him kill me unless I agree to your offer? Granny Whitney clucked her tongue sharply, then stood up, gave him a warm smile, and patted his cheek.
Dear boy, what kind of person do you think I am? But I do hope you'll consider my offer.
You haven't said what I'd give you in return.
Well, I hope you would take some advice from dear old Granny Whitney about how to proceed, but you wouldn't be obligated to. What I really need from you is to participate in a special event a little over 5 months from now. There's something at stake that's important to me, and there would be a considerable reward as well. If you gave me your share of the reward, I'd consider us square. What do you say?
On the surface, that appeared to be essentially an interest-free loan. Considering that it would restore his arm immediately and get him away from the Slayer, it was a tempting offer. But there were too many unknown terms, and he felt uncomfortable about the whole thing. No, his earlier thought that he needed to get away from the underground had been the right one. I'm sorry, he said slowly, but I can't accept. I don't think this life is for me.
Oh, dear, that'd be such a shame, a boy with your talent leaving so soon.
Before she could say anything more, Rick heard footsteps in the hall. He looked desperately to Granny Whitney, but she didn't seem to have heard them. Before he could warn her, the Slayer charged under the balcony after them. He ignored Rick entirely at first, instead thrusting his claws to the old woman's neck.
You stay out of this, Whitney. I just want the boy.
The Slayer kept his claw by her throat and turned back to Rick, that savage grin returning.
Just let it happen. No matter what, I'm going to find and kill you. You can either die now, or you can cower in fear until the day I find you and kill you much, much slower.
Granny Whitney was utterly still, staring at the claw by her throat, so she wouldn't be much help. Rick swallowed and decided his only option was reason, as poor a choice as that seemed. All we did was fight for our lives.
No, you humiliated me. You have to pay for that.
But why me? Tom was the one who finished you. The Slayer grimaced.
But everyone is looking at him, and he's Alger's favorite for now. No, my only chance to get revenge on him is in the arena itself. But you? There's nothing stopping me from taking you out and reminding everyone that I am not to be trifled with.
You don't need to. I'm going to quit. I promise, you'll never see me in the underground again.
Not good enough. If you thought your arm was bad, you should see what I'll do to the rest of your
He cut off as Granny Whitney stepped past his knife and poked his neck with two fingers. Feeling the pulse of Lucrim too late, Rick took an involuntary step backward. The Slayer went slack and began to crumple, overcome by some sort of disabling technique too subtle for Rick to understand. But before he fell to the ground, Whitney grabbed him around the side of the neck. Having no trouble with his weight, she dragged him to the side of the roof, then dumped him over the railing. Rick stared in horror as she looked over the edge, then clucked her tongue and shook her head.
Oh, dear, that's a messy landing. The boy should have kept his head.
Granny Whitney turned back to him, unnaturally calm, and Rick realized that he was right to feel fear.
It's a shame that the two of you couldn't put aside your differences. But really, dear boy, it was a mistake for you to track him down and kill him while he was so injured. Children these days.
Rick took a step backward, but there was nowhere to run. This... are you blackmailing me?
I just want what's best for you, dearie.
Granny Whitney sat down in her chair, took a sip of her tea, and then gave him a warm smile.
Now, have you given another thought to my offer?
Chapter 15. Core Obligations. It still didn't feel quite real, but it was done. Rick sat on a clean bed, feeling his arm recovering, and just stared at the ceiling. He'd done what Granny Whitney had suggested, telling the security forces who appeared that the Slayer had attacked him. They'd believed his story surprisingly easily, leaving him uncertain if that was because Whitney sat beside him or if she had tricked him into accepting her agreement. Of course, given her obvious willingness to murder, he hadn't really had much of a choice. At that moment, she sat back, humming a little tune to herself as the doctor from earlier worked on his arm. The old woman actually hadn't done anything else to heal him, making him wonder if that was really her job. Subtle layers of lucrum cascaded from the doctor's fingers as they worked over his arm, which was no longer shredded. In fact, it felt back to normal, though Granny Whitney had done something to make his arm go limp so the doctor could keep working. That was a reminder of just how easily the old woman could turn on him. Since he was stuck in this situation, his only chance was to find out precisely what she wanted. She must have had an ulterior motive for pressuring him into the deal, and he needed to play into that to stay alive. It's obvious you're going to get what you want. Rick stared at the old woman as the doctor continued working on his arm. Unless what you want is to torment me, please make it clear what exactly that is.
So much cynicism for one so young.
Granny Whitney clucked her tongue and shook her head.
If I wanted to hurt you, I wouldn't go to all this trouble. No, I want you at your best, which means I can actually be a great friend to you.
Skeptical as he was about that, Rick would take what he could get out of his arrangement. Fine, but I have obligations beyond the underground, so I don't know how much I can do for you.
And what obligations would those be?
My parents left me with a lot of debt. I'll never be able to make anything of my life unless I can get rid of that debt entirely, which means cutting a lot of corners. He'd planned that lie to avoid mentioning Melissa, since he'd never forgive himself if she got wrapped up in this. It wasn't much of a deception, but he suspected that Whitney already knew about the aura leeches, and an extravagant lie would be too easy to detect.
That does explain why such a dedicated young man has gathered so few lucrum.
Her eyes flickered over his face with a bit of hard skepticism.
I'm not sure that's the whole story, though. Keeping something from Granny Whitney, are you?
He stared back at her, refusing to give anything else. To his surprise, she simply smiled.
I'm not going to use it as leverage against you, dear boy. I already have enough of that. But if I'm going to be helpful to you, I need to know more about your life. Keep what secrets you want, so long as they don't interfere with our arrangement.
How often do you need me to fight?
Perhaps every week or so. Those will honestly be just simple bets to bide our time and earn a bit of extra profit on the side.
Right. This event in 5 months. Rick closed his eyes and leaned back, accepting that he'd need to take her objectives as his. What is it that you need to recruit random new fighters? Even with help, there's a limit to how much I can grow in only 5 months.
This is not public knowledge, but Alger will be running a rather curious tournament at that time. Teams of 5 against 5, But to keep things interesting, you aren't allowed to stack your team with your five strongest. No, you need people in five different power classes.
Granny Whitney smiled up at him and sat back in satisfaction.
I'm afraid my old featherweight candidate got herself killed, so I'm looking for someone new.
Rick sighed. So, I'm classed as a featherweight. You're going to tell me that's the lowest, isn't it?
That's not so bad, dearie.
She reached past the doctor to pat his hand.
There's a class below that called bantamweight, though they aren't included in the tournament. You're quite good for a featherweight, and that defensive core of yours is solid. I don't make these decisions randomly.
All right, but that's far in the future. What do you need from me in the short term?
Oh, in the short term, I'm going to be the one helping you. Those things I suggested weren't just enticements. I do intend to help you succeed.
Though she might have said more, the doctor finally pulled back.
I'm finished. Give me what we agreed, then you can scheme as much as you want once I'm gone.
Before answering, Granny Whitney reached out and tapped Rick's shoulder.
How does that feel, dearie?
Since his arm suddenly worked again, Rick tested stretching it, then made a fist. It felt fine. Better than fine. Instead of being torn apart, his arm looked strong and it felt fresh. He'd been slightly muscular before, but now all the muscles in his arm stood out rigidly.
Run along, dearie.
Granny Whitney pressed something into the doctor's hand and waved her away, then sat down next to his bed in the same chair.
Now, young Richard, the arm was a start, but I have several more conditions. We might as well start with the simplest, a bit of an incentive for joining me.
She reached into her handbag and pulled out a pearl sphere. Unlike the cheap marbles that most used, this one appeared to be made of solid pearl. After siphoning out some of it, the old woman set it down beside him. When Rick hesitantly took it, he immediately felt the density of the lucrum within.
That's 50,000 lucrum exactly. I hope you'll invest some of that in yourself, but it's up to you what you do with it. Oh, and do you need any spending money? I might as well give you some.
She fished out a stack of bills and set it down as well, but Rick was still focused on the sphere. This is a lot. If only the aura leeches could be bought off directly with this, but their values were more akin to generation rate, not generated lucrum. Still, this would be a significant advance.
Just the start, dearie. But I'm afraid I can't give you complete freedom, since your development is now my concern. Can you bring up your lucrum a portfolio for me, dear?
There was no real choice, so he did so. Name, Rick Hunter. Ether tier, 18th. Ether score, 156. Lucrum generation, 21,200. Effective rate, 11,900. Current lucrum, 578. Rick Hunter's Lucruma portfolio. Foundation, 7,700, level 2. Offensive Lucor, 3,700, level 2. Defensive Lucor, 6,400, level 4. Birthright Core, 1,944, level 1. Birthright Core, 1,108, level 1. Aura Leech, negative 4,755, stage 2. Aura Leech, negative 2,723, stage 1. Aura Leech, negative 1,262, stage 3. Golden Lucor, 10, NA. Gross Lucrum, 21,200. Net Lucrum, 11,900.
These little devices are so handy. Checking portfolios was far more work back in my day.
Granny Whitney looked over the screen, humming to herself.
Well, it's clear the first thing we need to do is get rid of that third aura leech.
Rick blinked. The third one specifically? It's the smallest, so it's hindering me the least.
Oh, but it's stage 3, which means it's draining you faster than the others. You can wait to get rid of the others if you like, but that one needs to go. It looks like you've been feeding all the leeches equally. Stop doing that and focus all your effort on the third.
Okay, I understand. He didn't like taking orders from her, but he had to admit her suggestion was logical. The lucrum that she'd given him would definitely help with that.
We need to do something about your foundation, but you're not really in a position to redo it entirely. You'll have to stick with an R type for now.
An R-type?
Just jargon, dearie.
Granny Whitney set down the phone beside him and patted his knee.
There are several different fundamental ways to structure your foundation, plus more complex techniques on top of that. Most people start with an R-type, and it's hard to switch to an M-type, so that's not really a problem. But you should look into changing it eventually.
He could only nod, making a mental note to do more research about it eventually. The terms sounded vaguely familiar now that he thought about them, but he'd never gotten deep into the forums where they were used.
Anyway, your biggest weaknesses are lack of a speed core and lack of a generation core. You can't make those overnight, especially with those leeches, but you can use those birthright cores toward them. You notice how they're just sitting there, unchanging?
Yeah, I tried focusing on them during my training, but it didn't have any effect.
Because those are essentially inert cores. The birthright cores given to most rich folks actually grow in strength over time, beyond just providing you with energy. But you're tired after today, and I can see that you don't want a lecture. Let me just give you a few things for you to work on until we meet again.
Actually, I had a question. Since she'd already looked through his portfolio, he didn't see any reason not to just ask her directly. Do you know what this golden core is? Granny Whitney blinked at him.
You mean you don't know? I assumed that you'd participated in a clinical trial for money or something of that sort. How did you get an unregistered core, then?
I'm honestly not completely sure.
Well, what I can tell you is what function it's supposed to serve. What you have is just a prototype, you could say. It doesn't actually function, but what it's intended to do is fundamentally alter Lucrim flow. Instead of your body going through a natural cycle, this core would let you draw all Lucrim at all stages, developed or incipient or recycling, like barring power against the future, you could say.
Is that healthy?
Goodness, no. That Lucrim would be going to heal small injuries, increase your strength, and many other things. This core would burn all of that in an instant for a burst of power.
Granny Whitney gave him a rather unpleasant smile.
Had you used it, you'd have thought that you obtained some grand ability and marveled at the new power you received, but it would have cost you in the end.
Though a bit disappointed, Rick nodded in understanding. I see. The old woman pulled her handbag into her lap and began looking through it.
Such things have long existed, of course, but they're usually for strong warriors who can afford to take such risks. The notable thing about yours is that it seemed like it was designed for the weak.
Rick had no idea what to make of that. Part of him had still been hoping, despite everything, that the mysterious core was something that could grant him great power. Apparently, this one was not only non-functional, but its function was something he wouldn't want in any case.
Anyway, dearie, I have some medicine and exercises you can do to prepare to improve your portfolio a bit. All quite harmless stuff, so do as much as you can.
Thank you.
Oh, not a problem, dearie.
Granny Whitney set down an old book, a small bag, and a bottle of pills on the bed.
There you go. Now, there's just one more thing before I go, and I'm afraid it's going to hurt a great deal.
He started to move away on instinct, but he was much too slow. The old woman grabbed his newly restored arm by the wrist and pinched down. Her lucrum speared into his body, creating a moment of blinding pain. Then it was over, and he was gasping for breath, staring at his wrist. It didn't look any different, but he could feel that there was something inside it. He wanted to check, to learn more, but he was distracted by Granny Whitney rising to her feet.
Just a little insurance for old Granny Whitney, okay? I can't have you running off on me. But if all goes well in 5 months, then I'll take that back out and you'll be as good as new. Take care, dearie.
With that, she bustled out of the room, a pleasant smile on her face. Groaning, Rick massaged his wrist for a while before pulling up his profile again. He soon discovered that what she had done was clearly listed. Tracking Bond, 100, level 13. He stared for a moment before realizing why it seemed familiar. One of his cousins, who was often in and out of jail, had a similar bond placed on him, alerting the authorities if he left his house. This one couldn't have the same restrictions, but he was willing to bet that it would let Granny Whitney find him anywhere. Just what he needed. Though his body felt good overall, his mind needed some more time, so Rick stayed in the hospital bed and looked over what he'd been given. The book seemed to teach Lucrim techniques, while the pills were an expensive medicine and the bag contained something that looked like sand. Hopefully, the book would explain what he was supposed to do with those. Eventually, he made his way out of the hospital. Guards took him down what appeared to be a hidden elevator, which opened up in what looked like a normal parking garage. They nodded to him as he went out, then the doors closed, and he was free. Except he wasn't free at all. Rick walked home slowly, taking time to digest everything that had happened to him. It felt like ages ago that he'd headed to the underground to watch Henry's fight and have a simple match of his own. According to his phone, not much time had passed, but his mind was swimming with thoughts of the brutal fight against the Slayer, working together with Tom, the attempted murder, and Granny Whitney. Just Granny Whitney would have been too much. By the time he got back to the apartment, he had no solutions, but his mind felt a bit clearer. He found Melissa still awake, struggling to keep her eyes open while she watched television. As soon as he came in, she hopped up.
Rick, are you okay?
He stared at her a moment, then shrugged. I got in a really nasty fight at the underground, and then somebody tried to kill me, and it's fine now, but I have to work for someone, and I am very tired.
I'll bet.
Melissa moved to put a shoulder under one of his arms, helping him to the couch.
You can tell me all about it tomorrow, okay? Right now, you really look like you could use the sleep.
Yeah. You too, though. School tomorrow.
It's Saturday, silly.
She helped him lie down and pulled his blanket over him. Rick tossed his phone and his keys onto the floor and decided to just sleep like that. After smoothing his hair a bit, Melissa turned to go. At that moment, his phone rang. Rick groaned and pulled the sheet over his head. He heard Melissa walk over and pick it up.
It's your boss. Should I tell him you're sick?
He wouldn't care. Rick forced himself back up and reached for the phone. I should talk to him. As far as he remembered, he didn't have to work that Saturday, though there was no guarantee that wouldn't change abruptly. It felt petty to be forced to go to work after everything he'd survived. He was holding the phone with the arm that had been destroyed not long ago. But that was his life. What's up, boss?
I should be asking you that.
Jimmy sounded slightly more irritated than average, which for him was absolutely furious.
Just what are you getting yourself into?
I've been fighting in the underground, but Henry does that too, and it's not...
I don't mean that. I mean that fucking birthrighter.
Rick sat up straight, all chance of sleep falling away.
What? You mean Mike? That one that kicked the shit out of you. Yeah. He came by today, without his friends, and asked about you. I told him to fuck off, and off he fucked. But then I get home tonight, and I have a letter from his dad's company. The letter doesn't explain shit, but they sound pissed.
Falling back against the couch, Rick groaned. I have a vague idea what this might be about. I'll take care of it.
You'd better, or you can kiss your job goodbye. We do not need prying eyes around here.
With that, Jimmy hung up without saying goodbye. Rick's hand fell down to his lap, his phone dropping onto the couch. He stared forward for a while longer. Out of the corner of his eye, he could see that Melissa was waiting in concern, but he didn't have the strength to explain it to her. Life couldn't ever give him a break, could it? Chapter 16. The Obvious Choice. The last time Rick had been unprepared, he had ended up in a death match against someone who was literally called the Slayer. This time, he planned to do everything he could before things got ugly. He began by leaving a message with his uncle, since Uncle Frank had seemed to know something about this golden core. When he didn't get an immediate call back, he began doing research of his own. For a start, he confirmed what Granny Whitney had said about special cores. Though all the details seemed to be confidential, there was definitely information that abilities like that existed, at least if you were rich enough. While he didn't know anything for sure, he could piece together an approximation of what might have happened. McGuire Incorporated must be testing a new form of core that could operate at lower levels of Lucrim generation. Either as an experiment or just as a perk of being the Founder's son, Mike McGuire must have held one of those cores. During their fight, his inexperience might have fractured it into core fragments, one of which Rick absorbed. That last part was the weakest link. While something like that must have happened, his knowledge of Lucor's was too basic to be sure about any details. Whatever exactly had happened, Mike and then his father's corporation had figured it out, and now they were after him. Research into McGuire Incorporated had quickly proved daunting. It was like a lot of conglomerates in that it contained a private combat sect and owned a variety of conventional manufacturing companies. Once they had power of one kind, they tended to seek any power they could seize for themselves. That often included cutting-edge research into Lucrema and related phenomena. Faced with an aggressive multinational corporation threatening legal action, his best choice was obvious. Give them what they wanted. There had been a few movies about plucky heroes taking on multinational corporations, and of course the lone warrior challenging the dominant combat sect was an old cliché, but those were stories, and this was reality. McGuire Incorporated had thousands of ordinary employees who were stronger than him, much less their elite combat groups. He had people he needed to protect and few resources, so his best bet was to cooperate and hope it went well. However, that didn't mean going unprepared. All during his shift on Sunday, he trained as intensely as he could, trying to solidify his recent combat experiences into real gains. Though he wanted to read Granny Whitney's book, he decided it was safer to leave it at home. When he finally got back, however, he found Melissa desperately trying to save a scorching pot roast and realized that he couldn't dive into training just yet. She winced when she saw him come in.
Oh, I was hoping I'd have everything ready before you got home, but I kind of screwed it up.
It smells okay. He stepped in and helped her with the heavy pot. Bit burned, but okay. What's the occasion?
I just wanted us to eat a bit better for once. We've been so busy, we've just been eating whatever was around, and that can't be good for us.
She gave a sheepish shrug.
But it turns out cooking is not really my strong suit.
They salvaged what they could and sat down on the floor to eat. Aside from the burned smell, it was actually quite good. Heavy, but with more subtle seasonings. Certainly better than the cheap crap they'd been eating lately, so he took the time to enjoy it. Before too long, however, his sister stopped eating and instead glanced at him.
So, while you were gone, I shamelessly snooped through your things.
Hey!
Kidding. I saw it when I put your stuff away after you passed out. Anyway, it looks like you got some valuable stuff. I'm not good at estimating Lucrem, but I haven't seen a container that fancy before. Not to mention the old book and the weird medicine.
Yeah, I'm going to have to work them off eventually, but these will be a real step forward. He was silent for a while, chewing another bite of potato. Some of it will take a while, but I intend to take all of the Lucrem and see how far it will get me.
Couldn't you just use it to pay off the leech things directly? Or is that not how it works?
Not how it works. Rick ate in silence for a while, trying to think about how to explain it. Some things had been so obvious to him for such a long time that it was easy to forget that it was all obscure to some people, and others he had only recently started to understand himself. Normal people dealing in Lucrem are talking about increments of energy, which is what I received. But when Lucrema users talk, they're almost always referring to their Lucrem generation rate. Another way to put it might be Lucrem capacity. Melissa cocked her head at him.
Those don't seem like the same thing.
It makes sense if you think about the old days. Back before we mined the atmosphere so effectively, trained warriors could gather Lucrem to themselves just by focusing. But there's a limit to how much people can gather and hold at one time, which is your generation rate. The general rule, which is where the official numbers come from, is that your maximum capacity is the amount you can generate in 1 year.
Oh, so the name is kind of outdated? That makes sense. It didn't seem like everybody could actually be generating that much all the time.
Right. So the 50,000 Lucrem I received, I could use it to buy things, or I could use it to recharge myself several times. But you can recharge with cheap serum, or even just resting enough, though the rate is extremely slow thanks to the Lucrem mining. A much better use of excessive Lucrem is to absorb it all, then try to crunch it down into your Lucrema soul. You burn through it, but in the end your capacity increases. That lets you hold more power at once and invest it into useful applications. Hence, that's why everybody is most concerned about generation rate.
Got it.
Melissa nodded thoughtfully and chewed for a while.
So, you're going to do all your main preparations, then head to this corporate place?
Just the branch office in Branton, but yeah, that's the plan.
Then, good luck, Rick. I hope that ends it, and I don't get something else to worry about.
She didn't mean to make him feel guilty, but that was definitely his main reaction. The extra stress couldn't be good for her, and based on how things were going with the underground, he was likely to just add more to it. He was nervous about how things might go with McGuire Incorporated, but better to address the issue directly than to let it sneak up on him and make things even worse. After the meal, he felt satisfied and a bit sleepy, but there were too many hours left in the day to rest. Instead, Rick cracked open the book he'd been given and looked through it carefully. It seemed that it was a collection of technique descriptions. Like most books of its kind, it was easy to skim, but more difficult to fully comprehend and far harder to put into practice. What Granny Whitney wanted him to do was fairly clear, at least. One of the first major exercises taught was called Graham's Focus. It promised to improve cohesion of one's Lucrema portfolio. Done consistently, he would be able to absorb the two birthright cores fully. That step would have to wait, but he could start with the initial exercises. The book also explained the purpose of the sand-like substance. Apparently, it was used as part of a purification ritual. It sounded like it was rough on the body, and it required mastery of a few basics, so he would have to leave that behind. Figuring out the pills was as easy as reading the label on the bottle. They helped restore one's Lucrem reserves, but also helped purge damage done to a Lucrema soul. The leeches were definitely leaving behind a lot of issues, so he could use the pills to help recover as he got rid of them. For now, he resolved to finish doing all his training before he took any, since they looked expensive. It took him 2 days to work through the basics and feel stable enough to risk a visit to McGuire Incorporated. Plus, he couldn't get a day off work until then. He'd looked up the location of the branch office, but he felt a little uncomfortable about just showing up there. Of course, it was even more uncomfortable trying to go to work with his boss constantly breathing down his neck about the pressure. He had an unusual shift that day and went home early, so Melissa was still at school. Rick repeated his new exercises a few times, wondering if he was just wasting time instead of acting. Just as he was beginning to work himself up to the point of leaving for the headquarters, he got a text message. It was a short message from Uncle Frank indicating that he should set up video chat. They only had a creaky old laptop, but Rick fired it up and opened the program. Soon, his uncle appeared on screen, smiling. It was night on his side of the world, but it appeared that he was calling from some sort of ancient ruin. That wasn't surprising, but Rick was pretty unclear where he was getting electricity or internet. Perhaps it was a satellite connection, though he didn't bother asking because they had much more important issues.
Richard, his uncle smiled broadly. Sorry, but I only just got your message. I can't talk long, but I wanted to check in with you.
Thanks, Uncle. Do you think I'd be making a huge mistake with this?
Well, to be honest, the problem is that all your other options would be much bigger mistakes. You don't want to get on the wrong side of McGuire Incorporated.
Uncle Frank took off his broad hat and balanced it on one finger idly.
The real question is how exactly it happened and who they believe. Based on the fact that this Mike fellow was looking for the core himself, it's possible that they're viewing this as his fault.
Rick breathed a sigh of relief.
I was thinking that, but I didn't want to assume anything might go my way.
It's still good to be cautious, but I think you should go visit them. However, there's one thing you definitely need to do first. Go to an independent professional and get the core properly extracted and stored. You do not want to let them do it themselves, or they'll be able to take you for even more.
Now that it was said, it seemed obvious, but he had been planning to head in without it. Another dirty trick they pulled against people like him, but at least he was prepared this time.
Do you have anyone you can recommend?
Honestly, it's been so many years since I've been to Branton, I'm not sure. Heck, just look up ratings online and pick someone who looks halfway decent. The main thing is to have their core extracted in a form that you can just hand them when you walk in.
I definitely will. Anything else? I've been looking deeper into this McGuire Incorporated, and I can't say I like the look of what I've found. Not that they're involved with anything illegal. If anything, they seem overly concerned with the rule of law. But they like using the law against people, and they've done a lot of lobbying. Better to wash your hands of them as soon as possible. Thanks, Uncle. I definitely will if I can. They talked about Melissa's condition and a few other topics, but then his uncle said he had to go. As the call ended, Rick felt lighter than he expected. Though his uncle might not be able to help him very much directly, it was good to have someone whose advice he could trust. With his uncle's blessing on the plan, he decided that he might as well get started that day. After leaving a note for his sister, Rick headed out into the city. Searching through Lucrum-based businesses on his phone, he quickly found one that looked like it could extract the core properly. He started to psych himself out reading one-star reviews that talked about horrible side effects, but those seemed to be present for every single store in existence. Eventually, he made his choice and headed down. The location was a simple building, a clinic with a pharmacy attached. He'd seen the picture online, but it was much smaller than he'd anticipated. Rick headed in and discovered a small, clean lobby. A middle-aged woman looked up from the front desk and smiled at him.
How can I help you?
I have a core fragment that I need extracted and preserved. She frowned a little, examining something on her screen.
We can definitely help you, but the price will vary depending on how much it's meshed with the rest of your Lucrema portfolio. Some Lucores aren't very discreet, you see, and it can be a long operation.
This one was just an accident, so I doubt it merged with anything.
Our expert will decide that, but hopefully so.
The woman gave him another sunny smile and took him to one of the back rooms. Their expert turned out to be an old man in a traditional combat robe and a cowboy hat, as if he was going to challenge someone to a Lucrum pistol duel at any moment. Rick tried not to let it bias him. It might be out of fashion today, but that outfit had once been widely respected. In any case, the man certainly knew what he was doing, quickly isolating the golden core. As Rick had hoped, it would be an easy operation. The cost was just over 500 Lucrum. There was a time when that amount would have made him hesitate, but now it was a cost he could absorb. If it let him finally be finished with Mike and his family's company, it was more than worth it.
Sit down and relax, Sonny, the old man said. This isn't going to work unless you've completely suppressed your aura and put your whole portfolio in proper order.
Since he'd been training at that for some time, that part was easy too. The old man raised a hand in his direction, muttering to himself for a while, then lowered his hand. Rick frowned and glanced at him. Is something wrong?
No, I'm done.
The old man shifted his hand, palm up, a tiny golden fleck floating within. As he transferred it to a small containment device, he cast Rick a disapproving glance from beneath his bushy eyebrows.
You're better off without this, Sonny. Getting a bunch of power early might seem nice at first, but you'll pay for it in the end. If you ask me, they shouldn't even be allowed to sell these.
Rick had a feeling that this man gave a lot of opinions, regardless of if anyone asked him or not, but he had no reason to argue. He carefully took the containment device and stood up. As he turned to go, the old man called after him.
Just a minute, Sonny. You bought the device, so you want the core. You're not keeping it as a souvenir or anything, are you?
What? No, why do you ask?
Because it's not going to last long. A core that small can't survive, not unless you've got some serious containment equipment. So if you want to do anything with it, you've got, about 12 hours or so before it starts deteriorating.
Ah, thanks for telling me. Rick managed to keep a neutral expression on his way out, but as soon as he left the clinic, he scowled. Showing up with no core and a suspicious story about losing it would be insane. He'd been hoping to take another few days to choose the right time, but instead, Rick found himself hailing a taxi for the ride across town. It seemed he was going to McGuire Incorporated that day. Chapter 17. McGuire Incorporated. The corporation's offices were all the way across Branton, so Rick waited nervously throughout the ride. Eventually, he got out at his destination and spent a moment staring over the complex.
This was just a branch office? McGuire Incorporated's local headquarters spread out over 10 acres, several buildings sprawling over a park-like space. The largest of them loomed over the others, not as tall as the buildings in the center of town, but far taller than anything out here. He stared up at the shimmering windows and looked over the name, letters higher than he was tall. If this was a mistake, it was one he was committed to. Rick sighed and headed in. Though not as intensely extravagant or powerful as the lawyer's offices, the corporate complex definitely spoke of wealth. He passed numerous people with lucrum generation rates of 50,000 or more, just normal employees. The outer part of the park area was open to the public, but when he approached the central building, several private security guards emerged, all in 6 digits. "You're free to enjoy the park," one of them said. "But to head further in, you need a badge. Got an appointment?" "No, but you told me to come here." Rick had hoped he'd be allowed to talk to his secretary or someone instead of getting confronted. If it came to this, he decided to lead with his best card, so he pulled the core out of his pocket. "I don't know what this is, but I suspect it's way above your pay grade. I suggest you ask someone if they're missing an experimental core." The security guards glanced at each other nervously, not having expected that. One of them started to reach for the containment device, but another slapped his hand away. "Don't touch it! And you, just stay there!" One of the guards, presumably the leader, moved away and spoke into a walkie-talkie. Rick couldn't quite hear the conversation, but it went back and forth for some time and included several awkward pauses. Eventually, the leader came back wearing a grim expression. "Okay, we're supposed to escort him in. Someone will come to pick it up." Having armed security guards form ranks around him and force him to walk wasn't exactly comfortable, but Rick went quietly. That was better than it could have been, unless they were planning to take him somewhere private before attacking him. But they only escorted him to the main lobby of the building before drawing back to their places. The central lobby was mostly white and silver, with dark gray highlights, a massive room that spanned 3 floors. He could see people moving industriously on the upper levels, smartly dressed and packing a significant amount of lucrum. As many businesses as McGuire Incorporated was involved in, it was clear that this was their lucrum-focused branch. Before he waited long, he spotted someone who stood out like a sore thumb. It was a man only a few years older than him, with a scruffy goatee and a shirt with stylized blood spatters. He slouched into the lobby, looked around, then headed in his direction. "Oh, hey, are you the guy with the core?" He sounded much too casual for a place of business like this, grinning unevenly. Rick wasn't sure what to make of him, so he just pulled out the core again. "If you mean this one, yes." "Wow, great." With troubling speed, the casually dressed man slipped forward and took it from him. He drew it close and peered at it, then glanced toward him eagerly. "You're not part of the test group, but I gotta ask, did you feel anything? It's supposed to be a future lucrum burn, but if the core wasn't working right, maybe it would've just felt like a drain." "Sorry, but that one is only 10 lucrum, maybe a fragment. I have no idea what it is or what it's supposed to do, but I didn't feel anything strange." He decided to stick with that, hoping that they would brush him off as simply ignorant. The other man seemed disappointed. "That sucks, man, but I guess that's how it goes. Though, how exactly did you get this thing? Weird that it got out, but the higher-ups don't always tell me things." Rick hesitated, completely unsure how to answer that question. He'd assumed that they knew exactly how he got it, so he hadn't prepared any lies on the subject. Before he could think of anything, they were interrupted by a man wearing a black suit, sunglasses, and a wire. His lucrema was tightly suppressed, but he immediately set Rick's teeth on edge. He stopped nearby and swiveled his head toward the unkempt man. "You've confirmed recovery of the core."
"Yeah, this is it. Looks like he had it removed by some competent rando, but no sign of damage or anything."
"Then you can go back to your work. I'll take it from here."
With that, the man in the suit pivoted to look at Rick.
"Come with me."
Saying no didn't really seem like an option, so Rick followed him. They left the main area and entered a hallway as lightly colored as the rest of the building. If not for the signs on the walls, Rick would have quickly become lost. They didn't go far, soon pulling into a small office. The man in the suit sat down and gestured for him to sit. It was not an offer. As soon as Rick sat, bracing his strength despite himself, the man pulled out a sheaf of paper. Rick actually didn't see where he had been holding it, but there was no time for that because it was already being placed into his hands and the man was speaking.
McGuire Incorporated appreciates you coming forward and returning our intellectual property voluntarily. However, we need you to sign this non-disclosure and anti-indemnification agreement immediately. If you do, our corporation will be able to appropriately compensate you for your assistance.
Rick shrugged off the play to his greed. He might be poor, but he couldn't be bought that easily.
Okay, just give me time to read all of this. That is not necessary.
You want me to follow the entire agreement, don't you? Though the suited man stared at him so intensely the entire room felt oppressive, Rick forced himself to read every single line carefully. It said that he couldn't sue for anything related to the Corps, couldn't hold them responsible for any losses, couldn't talk about the Corps' existence to anyone else, and more. Seemed mostly like the company covering its ass, nothing too scary, though he was surprised to note that a later clause directly said he couldn't sue or bring charges for any injuries taken during the acquisition of the Corps. The language of that clause wasn't in the same legalese as the rest. He wondered if it had been put in later, specifically regarding how Mike had attacked him.
That is sufficient time. We need you to sign the agreement.
Can I get a pen? Since the suited man was putting off ever more dangerous vibes, Rick decided that he didn't have a real choice. The man handed him a pen, again slipping it out of his hand like some sort of magic trick, and Rick signed at the bottom of all the pages.
Very good. McGuire Incorporated thanks you for your cooperation.
You said you'd compensate me for my assistance? The man stood up, no longer looking at him.
Your reward is that McGuire Incorporated will not bring charges against you for the theft of our intellectual property.
Typical. Rick frowned at the man, but internally he breathed a sigh of relief. Though it might have been from watching too many conspiracy movies, he'd halfway expected them to try to eliminate him after they got the core. In real life, corporations didn't kill needlessly, though, just did whatever was necessary to get what they wanted, which meant the core and his silence, in this case. Since it seemed like their business had concluded, Rick stood up along with the suited man. Before he could go anywhere, the suited man cocked his head at an angle, listened for a moment, then turned back to him.
Stay where you are for several more minutes, then you may go.
Those seemed like nonsense instructions, but Rick played along. He hadn't sat in the office very long before the door opened again and a wall of solid lucrum washed over him. The man who walked in was middle-aged, with a full head of gray hair and an expensive suit. But all of that paled in comparison to the power within him. Rick thought that he had a decent amount of personal lucrum, but it was difficult to see through the radius of the security lucor. Such cores were unbelievably expensive, used by politicians, celebrities, and other powerful figures in order to prevent assassination by lone warriors. The aura it put off was invisible, though obvious to anyone with the ability to sense lucrum, but it would stop most ordinary attacks cold. Whoever this man was, he was serious business. Several aides came along with him, bearing tablets, but he waved them back as he stepped in.
I understand you had a little scuffle with Mike.
The man had a soft, smooth voice. Somehow Rick felt that it would be a very bad idea to lie to him. He came into our gym and asked for a match. It was my shift, so I did my best to keep up with him. That's part of the job, sir. To his surprise, the man chuckled.
Yes, I'm sure that it was all that polite. In any case, my people tell me that you managed to tear part of an experimental core from him.
Rick felt like the question was dangerous, but couldn't look away. That might be how it happened, sir. I'm not sure.
Relax, Richard. This turned into enough of an issue that I wanted to stop by myself, but the company isn't going to hold a grudge. This isn't the first time I've had to clean up after my son.
Rick kept a smile on his face while doing the exact opposite of relaxing. He'd just learned three things that made him far more nervous. First, this man was Mike's father, the CEO of McGuire Incorporated. Second, he bothered to take a few minutes out of his schedule to visit personally, which couldn't be a good sign. Third, the man had just casually used his first name. While it was possible that he'd gotten it from the legal forms, Rick had a feeling that he'd just been threatened. In any case, the CEO gave him a thin smile and turned away.
"I approve of your initiative, young man. Be on your way and stay out of trouble."
With that, he left the room, already speaking with his assistants again. The oppressive aura went with him, and Rick breathed a sigh of relief to be only under the scrutiny of the suited agent. When the man gestured for them to go, Rick went willingly. He braced himself for things to go wrong at the last second, for guards to ambush him or a bullet to go through him. But instead, he was escorted to the door and allowed to go. Once he was out in the park, walking away from the company headquarters, he finally stopped holding his breath. Dealing with the matter directly had definitely been the right decision. Perhaps there was some way he could have profited off the Golden Core, but trying to mess with a company this big was insane. He didn't need any corporate intrigue in his life. Dealing with all his other problems was more than enough trouble for him. As he headed out, Rick finally let himself smile. A moment later, he felt a burst of power beside him. Honed by his time in the underground, he moved to dodge immediately, but wasn't fast enough to stop a blurring fighter from rushing up to him and grabbing the front of his shirt.
"You bastard!"
It was Mike. His blonde hair flew wildly, and fury burned in his eyes as he tightened his fist in Rick's shirt.
"My own father! I'll never forgive you for this!"
They were still in sight of multiple people in the garden, so Rick focused his lucrum defensively and made no move to attack, just raising his hands to either side.
"I didn't mean to do anything. Whatever happened, it was an accident."
"Bullshit! I'd beaten you, and you grabbed at my watch like a little thief. I'd been entrusted with that for testing purposes, and you...
It looked like Mike wanted to punch him in the face, so Rick braced for it. Yet, he found his eyes wandering to the other man's wrist, which now wore a much less expensive-looking watch. So, the experimental Lucor had been stored within it? That was odd, but not shocking. In any case, what had happened was finally known, not that it did him a lot of good.
"Listen up, you little shit."
Mike had obviously noticed that people were watching, so he slowly unclenched his fist, but the hatred in his eyes grew.
"I will never forget this. You are nothing to me, do you understand? However miserable your life is, I will find some way to make it worse. I'll grind you under my heel until you regret ever standing up to me."
The best choice would have been to end things peacefully, but when Rick looked into Mike's eyes, he knew that was an impossibility, so he couldn't stop himself from replying. "Come by any time for a rematch. I think I'll need to raise my rates next time, though." Mike let out a growl and struck at him, but Rick managed to step back from the wild blow. For a moment, the other man stared at him, seething, then he turned away and stormed off. Rick stood there for a little longer, then headed away, his smile disappearing. So, this wasn't over after all. To make matters worse, he saw that his phone had collected several messages, the timestamps suggesting that messages had been suppressed while he was in the building. One from Melissa saying he needed to pick up more of her medication, another from Jimmy telling him he needed to cover an extra shift tomorrow, and finally one from Granny Whitney listing a time he needed to arrive at the underground for a match. It never ended. Rick sighed and started walking back. Chapter 18. Tea Training. For a couple of weeks, Rick managed to juggle everything, without any of it going horribly wrong. At first, he was constantly alert for Mike to attack him, but it seemed that his threats weren't going to be carried out immediately. Given that, Rick was able to slowly dig his way out of the holes fate had forced on him. He'd expected Granny Whitney to throw him into horrible fights with life-threatening conditions, but her requests were nothing special. Just more general melee events, except she requested that he target certain candidates and make sure they went down. So far, he hadn't found any pattern to them, so he decided there was no reason not to cooperate. More importantly, he earned 10 to 14 points for each of those events. That finally put him over 100, specifically 112, which meant that he had more control over the types of events he took part in. That included not getting thrown into Slayer matches, according to rumors, though based on how much Alger had enjoyed it, Rick wouldn't put anything past the Underground's owner. Granny Whitney had implied that something more important than average would occur when he passed 100, but had been busy with her own issues when it happened. Now he received a message indicating that he should meet her at a different address, which turned out to be a small building next to the Underground's makeshift hospital. When he entered, he found her seated at the center of a couch with embroidered cushions piled to either side. She was currently working on knitting something, her knitting needles clicking back and forth with a practiced air.
"Hello there, dearie."
She smiled at him and gestured toward the seat opposite her with the back end of one knitting needle, not missing a stitch.
"I do hope you have been keeping up all your training, because today we might be able to make some significant progress."
"I've been doing my best. I've advanced to the second stage of Graham's focus, as described by the book. The restoration pills helped, and I think I did the sand ritual properly. Plus, I've been trying Buffett's buffer on my own, improving my foundation and putting all the extra toward removing the worst of the aura leeches."
"Well, look at you. How much progress have you made?"
"It's been reduced to..." He had to check his phone, since he found it easier to avoid focusing on the exact number. Better than he'd expected. 462 lucrum remaining. That's less than a third of the original debt.
"Wonderful, wonderful."
Granny Whitney beamed at him, as if proud of a favored grandson. It gave him a warm feeling for a split second before he became deeply suspicious.
"I think I'll help you a little with that, dearie. You deserve a bit of a reward for all your hard work. Plus, you'll need to face more difficult challenges than simple melees from now on."
She set down her knitting needles for a moment, reaching into the bag beside her, and pulled out a bottle of 100K Philosopher's Elixir in a liquor bottle, then a china teacup, then another liquor bottle. While Rick stared, she arranged everything on the coffee table in front of her.
"Would you be a dear and get the tea for me? It should be done by now."
He looked around the room and spotted an electric tea kettle on a table in the corner. When he went to pick it up, he found it surprisingly heavy, much more so than he would have expected to be filled with just hot water. When he carried it back to the table, Granny Whitney beamed at him again.
"Thank you, dearie. Now sit back for a moment while I whip up a little something special."
When she began pouring the elixir into the teapot, he had to say something. "Is it really safe to mix Philosopher's Elixir in whatever kind of tea that is?"
"Not only is it safe, it's delicious."
She filled the teacup and then pushed it across the table toward him.
"The tea is a special recipe of mine, and adding the elixir gives it a bit of a kick. But what matters is that the two balance each other out. While the elixir spikes your current lucrum, the tea soothes your lucrum a soul. Not ideal for growth, but excellent if you want to remove something holding you back, like an aura leech."
"Then I suppose I'll give it a try." He hesitantly took a sip and found it strange. The mix was thick and sweet, not really like either component. Instead of a rush of power, it was more like a strong current pushing his aura upward. "It's not bad."
"That entire pot is for you, but don't drink it all at once. It'll be most effective if you savor it."
He nodded and kept drinking, watching her over his cup. "Thank you for the gift, then. What else did you want to do?"
"You mean you don't want to sit and chat with your dear old Granny Whitney?"
She clucked her tongue and began knitting again.
"Show me your Graham's focus."
Rick obeyed, going through the exercise several times while he continued to drink the tea. It was a bit more difficult with the liquid flowing through him, but he kept it up. All the lucors within him seemed to melt a little into the current of his power, and after a time, the old woman nodded.
"You've done well. We can move on to the real purpose of all this, reinvesting your birthright cores. They're not doing you very much good as they are now, so you might as well use them for something else,
No need to convince me. I completely understand. Plus, he would feel better not being regularly reminded of the mess his parents had left him, though he kept that to himself. Could I apply those to the aura leeches and wipe out the debts entirely?
While you could, I don't think that would be a very good use of your strength. No, I had you do Graham's focus in particular so that you could move on to something better than that. Graham's stake.
He frowned, trying to remember all the details of it from the book. I read that part, but the book was pretty obscure. I don't know if I can do the exercise, and even if I did, the book doesn't say a thing about what it actually does. Granny Whitney shook her head.
The exercise is just a step toward developing a lucor, a special sort of lucor. Most types, you need to work terribly hard to improve them, but this one will naturally gather lucrim on its own and provide you with some of it. Slowly, at first, yes, but it adds up over time. Graham's stake is a simple form of this type, but there's nothing wrong with it. You won't regret having it in your lucrima portfolio, even if you become a perpetual soul.
But this new lucor wouldn't grant me a direct capacity, would it? I understand the value, especially long term, but in the short term, don't I need speed or an ability more?
Tut, tut, young man. Believe me, one day you'll thank me for this. You might be able to progress quickly by just pouring everything into strength at first, but slow and steady wins the race.
Then I'll bow to your superior wisdom. Also, he didn't have any choice in the matter. Granny Whitney beamed at him, knitting needles clicking even faster. Following her instructions, Rick advanced forward with the exercise. Normally, it would have been difficult to dissolve the birthright cores inside him and create something new, but the tea helped to lubricate the whole process. Plus, the constant flow of new power made everything easier. He understood how rich people could become powerful if they could develop themselves like this. But apparently this Graham's stake also helped them become more powerful, so he devoted himself wholly to mastering the technique. It involved growing all of his aura up into a sphere, but unlike a normal core, this one had raw, mostly unrefined lucrum packed within. That was what produced the growth, or so he thought. Bit by bit, he forced his spirit to conform to the shape he wanted. In the end, he felt utterly exhausted, and every lucrum in his body was spent, but he dissolved the old cores into a new one. He fell back in his chair, taking a moment to breathe. Granny Whitney smiled and filled his teacup.
Well done, dearie. Have another drink and pep yourself up. We'll be rid of that aura leech before too long as well.
Really? But it... Rick trailed off as he felt inside himself and realized how much the aura leech had grown. It was still draining his strength the same as before, and the creature itself was actually stronger than it had been, but it was nearly sated. He would finally be free.
You've made more progress than you know. This path can seem like hard work and no play at times, but occasionally it pays off.
She took the teapot, chopping up some sort of root into fine pieces, and then poured the entire second bottle of Philosopher's Elixir into the pot.
Now, are you familiar with drinking games?
What? Rick stared at her, and she smiled back.
They can be great fun, you know. In any case, this next part, there's no way to do it in a civilized fashion.